The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Ireland's savings specialists. Rabodirect, the straight-talking savings bank.
And thank you very, very much indeed. And we are going to move on now to quantitative easing, which will be known as QE, even though I hate using initials like that. I'll start off with you, perhaps, Dara, on this. Describe to me, said Finn. And David McWilliams has just come in as well. He's going to talk about it as well. How would you describe it?
Yeah, well, David now has just arrived in, so the master is here to
and you were writing about it today. You're cutting your time fairly
well. Listen, Mary, you know, you've got to keep you nervous, you know? You've got to keep you nervous. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like you're just back from Davos. You spoke to us after you had been made one of the Davos World Young Global Leaders.
Yes, that was a couple of years ago. And so that allowed you, the extraordinary thing about Davos is I'd kind of heard of it, like everyone had heard of it before. This happened, this award happened, and then I went to it, and the most interesting thing is it's really confusing. It's enormous, right? And you've no really idea, particularly you need somebody to show you around the place. But what was very odd, and it really struck me, and then I've been back a few years, because the great thing about getting this award is you can go for free, which is great. So you don't have to pay the 20 or 40 grand. I mean, it costs a fortune to go there.
Oh, does it? Just does it?
Absolute fortune. Right. I'm not too sure the figures. I think it's a 40 or 50,000 just to actually go, which is extraordinary. And obviously then, Marion, that limits the type of people who go there.
It sure does.
And what you really realise, I had a strange moment. I was sitting in the bar of a hotel, and the Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak walked in with security. And then I looked over and there were finance ministers of Germany and finance ministers of the UK in this bar. And then what really strikes you is how small the global elite actually is. That's the really both terrifying and fascinating side to it, that the global elite, the people who really make the decisions, all talk to each other.
Yeah.
There seems to be no... The thing about Davos is there's no opposition.
And that's the crazy thing. Are the Chinese there?
Oh, yeah, in enormous numbers. In
really?
Enormous numbers, yeah.
The Russians?
Oh, yeah, very, very much so. Very
Africans?
Much so. Yeah, quite to a degree. But, I mean, it's a rich man's club. So the richer you are, the more representation you have.
And what is the purpose of it?
Well, I'm not too sure, because I had no... I got a letter about 6 years ago and said I'd never heard of this thing. This young global leader.
Yeah.
And so I went along. I think the purpose of it is, actually, if you strip back, the purpose of it is business. And in fairness, I do think that people do business with people they know. So I think it is networking. And I think at that level, it is probably something that is what those big chief executives need to go to, because they don't have so much time. But the other side of it, it's a real vanity thing as well. I mean, the funniest thing I saw, which was amazing, again, there's all these parties. And I got invited to a couple of these parties almost by default. But I saw a fantastic moment where Rupert Murdoch, who I recognised, the face, was being stopped by a Swiss soldier. The Swiss soldiers are conscripts, right? So this guy was about 18. Never heard of Rupert Murdoch in his life. No idea who he was. And Murdoch was looking at the Swiss soldier. And the Swiss soldier basically said, "You don't have a name badge. I don't give a damn who you are. You're not getting in." And it was really funny, because it was clear that Murdoch had never been spoken like this by anybody. And the Swiss soldier was taking orders. So there was no way in the world he was letting in. And it was this lovely standoff until then the obsequious Davos people came in and said, "Do you know who he is?" And the Swiss guy said, "No," and he's not getting in. And that was quite
How
interesting.
How did it end? How did it end?
It ended eventually, of course. Of course it ended that, you know, Rupert was shallied in and the whole thing. But it was funny. But I think that the point is that, and I come back to the original point, that this really reinforced to me the extent to which there is a massively tight elite who reinforce each other's views about everything, and who find it, I always find it
very
funny.
Does nobody ever throw sort of a spanner into the
works? Well, if you do, you get kind of slapped down very, very quickly. But it's like the court of an old-fashioned medieval king, right? And if you can imagine the court of a medieval king, nobody says a word because your man's doling out the sweeties.
That's right.
And I suspect that's exactly what it is. And the media... are hilarious because they're in on it totally, and there's no criticism, and they're taken as gospel. And what you find very funny about rich people is they kind of feel, because they've made money selling something, that they're entitled to give their view on everything. Well, actually, that's not the case. And there is a sense at Davos that if only these very, very wealthy people, they feel, if they were only allowed to run the country for 2 minutes, the place would be fine. And that's the real sense I get for it. So, but again, you can be cynical about these things and you can be analytical, Marion. But I suppose the point of it is that these people do business with each other. Right. And that's where they go.
Right.
And then there's a lot of vanity as well, because who was at Davos and who was at these parties. And the sessions are really quite dull, actually. You know, you never hear somebody saying something really interesting. And
so it's all happening in the bars or on the...
Well, no, the sessions, there are...
lectures.
Sessions, all lectures and panel discussions and all that sort of stuff all the time. But, I mean, the ones I went to, and I went to loads, and I've been to loads of them. They're not, you know, you go and you take notes and you listen, but you're not going to hear any really alternative view to the mainstream view.
Okay.
Marion, wasn't there a report out during the week, statistics saying that, you know, how much percentage of the world's wealth is held by 1% of people? And when David is describing what he saw, the first word that came into my mind is schmooze. And the next words that came into my mind are self-interest and personal advantage. It's the rich getting richer. And that's why we had that statistic about, you know, so much of the world wealth being held in so few hands. Mm. And they're doing the deals in Switzerland and, you know...
I presume that's why Enda Kenny has to.
If you want to see the plutocracy, that is the place to go. I mean, there's no doubt of that. And it's the interesting for me is when you see it, you realise how small.
How small
it
is.
That's the interesting thing. You're talking 500-600 people who are running the whole show.
World.
The whole show.
I can definitely see David's point. I mean, it's a festival of smug to a large extent. You know, that really is. But in fairness, I'd be pretty cynical about people like Enda Kenny and Michael Noonan kind of going there. But I noticed that Enda Kenny used it a couple of times this week to lay out a message. And I thought the Irish Times picked it up well yesterday in the panel discussion that he had with a bunch of North European leaders. He very much differentiated Ireland from Greece, and he was, you know, laying out the kind of groundwork, and he took his message there, and you can argue that's right or wrong, but he plainly took the opportunity to put clear blue water between Ireland and Greece.
I mean, Dara, there's a distinction between politicians attending, representing their country, versus big business, and I think that there are two separate groups operating.
But yeah, though, mind you, we need them.
Yeah, but ultimately,
we'd be more annoyed if the Taoiseach hadn't been invited.
Big business creates jobs. I mean, I know Andy Kenny spent a lot of time smoozing with some of the leaders of the biggest companies in the world.
Who we want.
We can be very easy cynical about these things, but in fairness, you know, there's probably a point in being there.
Okay, I'm going to have to take a break, and then we will go on to quantitative easing.
Podcast The Marion Finucane Show at rte.ie/radio.
Live the hurt.
I'm the only person who's never let her down. If you take that away from her, you leave her with nothing.
But you have let her down.
Live the deception.
If you don't believe me, tell her the truth. But if this destroys her, it's on you.
Live the betrayal.
You saw my dad die. You walked out and you left him on the floor.
Live the love.
I will spend the rest of my life making it up to her. She's finally happy.
Live the moment on RTE1. Don't miss Fair City Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Sunday nights at 8.
I wasn't her daughter anymore. I was her carer, but I didn't have the time or the expertise. All I could offer was love. Most of what I felt was guilt. Then Sarah suggested home instead. The name says it all. Mum was desperate to stay in her own home. But the real bonus was home instead's personal commitment. Mum has expert care in her own home. I have peace of mind.
Home instead, senior care. To us it's personal.
Find out more at homeinstead.ie.
Sorry, sugar, you're going down. I've got something that's big on sweetness but small on calories. Canderel, the alternative to sugar. Get sweet smart.
Thinking of having an alarm system fitted? Be sure to ask your installer about a perimeter protection system from HKC, Ireland's leading manufacturer of intruder alarm systems. Take our Secure Wave perimeter alarm systems, which come with an optional smartphone app, and are designed to detect intruders before they gain entry to your home or business premises. meaning you can have total peace of mind wherever you are. Be safe and secure with HKC.
System arming.
For more information, visit hkc.ie.
Have you confirmed your details with Irish Water? This will qualify you to apply for the €100 Water Conservation Grant and ensure you are billed correctly from April. All households, not just Irish Water customers, can qualify for the grant. It's easy to confirm your details at water.ie or local 1890 448 448. Irish Water, safeguarding your water for your future.
Before your kids take on the winter morning, before they head out into the cold, before they split the atom, discover the South Pole, take on extra choir practice and PE, before the away match on a pitch that's just about playable, with a ball that's just about visible, set them up for the day with Flavin's Porridge, a warm, nourishing breakfast that's full of slow-release energy, a natural breakfast that tastes delicious. Flavin's, energy for life.
So you want to be fit and healthy? Free 16-page Healthy Living magazine inside today's Irish Mail on Sunday. 100 tips that are good for your health and mind. Eat red food, sleep on silk, have a lavender bath. Surprising ways to get fit, live longer and stay positive. Free Healthy Living magazine inside today's Irish Mail on Sunday.
Welcome back to the programme. Now, caller was on to say, I think no matter how your guests don't like it, Sinn Féin are very popular with everyday people and will play a major role in the next election. Now, let us come back to the quantitative easing. Who dreams up this language?
They're awful. Dave? They're awful. I mean, economists are their own worst enemies coming up with this class of carry-on. And I actually believe that a lot of it's to try and make economists sound clever. Because it sounds inaccessible. And my goodness, quantitative easing must be very profound. And as a result, then the rest of the economists say, well, don't worry, we'll stand between you and the big ideas and we'll disseminate the information to you. I mean, it's a ludicrous expression. And
printing money.
It's actually not even printing money, Marion. It's given the banks the capacity to lend. That's the thing. And if they want to print the money, they can do so. What Draghi unveiled on Thursday is really enormous for financial markets, and it will undoubtedly cause asset prices, stocks and bonds, to go through the roof, as it's causing. So it's interesting, we started on Davos. We know for a fact that this will make rich people richer. And the question is, will it percolate down to the middle ground? And I'm not too sure, but it'll definitely make rich people considerably richer. And the reason is that rich people, Marion, have the assets. They own the assets. So if you own the assets and the banks are injecting money, the price of those assets goes up. In the United States, it has worked. But it worked in conjunction with a massive fiscal expansion, i.e. budget deficit in the first term of Obama's term. Considerable debt forgiveness across the board in terms of mortgages, in the sense that in America you can walk away from your mortgage and give it back to the bank and walk away and the mortgage doesn't follow you. And they had a massive currency devaluation. And then over 5 years, quantitative easing worked.
Right.
And now you see the United States economy is growing very, very quickly, about 4 or 5%, about 4% at the moment, seen to grow faster. Unemployment is down at 5%. And what you have is a classic American recovery.
Right.
The question is whether it will work in Europe. Yeah. I mean, what Draghi has done, I mean, basically, you've had a coup d'etat of Italians in the ECB, right? Draghi and his mates have basically engineered a coup d'etat over the Germans. So the politics of this is very interesting because he is basically trying to turn the euro into the lira behind the backs of the Germans. He's trying to devalue the currency as much as he possibly can.
But is that not in all our interests?
It's not in the German interest, but it's in our interest, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
but I wonder how much of that, though, is sometimes political theatre. I mean, I go back to our Anglo-Prom Note deal when the German head of the Bundesbank had to come out and oppose the deal that Ireland got in the prom note. But, you know, I know because we reported it that, you know, he had actually quietly agreed with Mark Carney that this was probably cool. For the sake of political theatre and for the sake of choreography, they'd have to come out and oppose it. But in reality, you know, they were reasonably happy with the Irish deal. So I suspect a lot of this is done for domestic political presumption rather than real opposition.
I'm not saying this is anything but domestic, because what you have in Europe is this bizarre situation where politics is local and the euro is international. So every time you get a euro issue, an issue about the euro, and people exalt Europe and these great ideas, But they basically have to go and sell that locally to their own people. So I agree with you completely that all politics is local. German politics is as local as any other. And the Germans have this sense that gradually, but absolutely, they are being dragged into a currency union that they didn't really... They thought... I mean, the Germans had this plan, you know, that we'd all turn into...
Germans.
Little Germans.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want to quote that great American economist, Mike Tyson, who said of plans, everyone has a plan until they get a punch in the face. And the punch in the face the Germans got was we didn't turn into little Germans. We actually remained as we were. The Greeks did.
Can I
the
ask
Spanish
you,
did.
Can I ask you how it works in terms of the ECB itself? And there's representation of all the countries that have the euro and their central banks. So in other words, our central bank is there and so on and so on. And then when it comes to decision-making, is it majority or is it unanimous?
Well, they try to avoid the very divisive votes, from what I can gather. So they try to come to the consensus. Actually, in the Irish, this is what was interesting. As far as I know, Ireland didn't have a vote this time because there's so many countries in the euro, sometimes you miss out.
You drop out.
You drop out. And from what I understand, Patrick Conlon wouldn't have had a vote in this case. So my understanding is that you try and come to a consensus rather than a very divisive vote. Now, you can, I think he said it was a large majority, wasn't it, that he said the other day? So the large majority of governors were in favour of this. We later discovered that the two Germans voted against it or raised their objection to it.
Yeah.
But again, they knew they were going to lose. So you can. It's easy to raise and object something when you know
they're
it's
kind of getting used
through
to democracy. It doesn't kind of suit them, but they're getting used to it. It's like, oh, really? We're part of this union, and I think it's actually very healthy what's happening, because I think.
But why the Germans are one of the big winners because they got one of the biggest export economies around. So therefore, the devaluation of the euro give their sales at BMW a boost.
I think that what you have is a situation where, you know, the German elite, the very top in Germany, are for this. Okay?
Okay,
because they represent industry. Back to the Davos idea, they represent industry and the government and, as you say, schmoozing and making sure it looks okay. But if you look at the German Constitutional Court, which is the court that was the German academics went to say, hold on, this is unconstitutional, there is still unease in Germany. But I think gradually Germany is realising that they're in a union and they're not top dogs anymore. And in actual fact, if the whole thing is to work, they have got to compromise. And
but,
that's what they're trying to do.
But, I mean, we'll be talking about it now in a minute. But, I mean, if the vote goes a particular way in Greece today...
Which it probably will.
Which it probably will. It looks like public spending will go up. Taxation will come down. There'll be goodies for everybody. Mm. And I presume the Germans are thinking, well, and I'm the sucker that's going to pay for it.
They've excluded Greek debt from the QE as things stand. They're saying that we will not buy Greek debt until the Troika is happy with the progress of the programme. So they've a little bit of a stick there.
The dirty little secret is that Greece can do what it wants. Okay,
because they have everybody over a barrel.
Because they've every... Look, the problem with Greece is not that it defaulted. It defaulted on 100 billion euros 2 years ago. That's the biggest default ever. It's not that Greece defaulted. That's not their problem. The problem is they didn't default enough. That they actually have to default more because their debt GDP ratio is 175%. They'll never get out of this. So for Greece to emerge as a functioning economy and society from this, they need to default again. And Germany understands that, not least because that's... The interesting thing is what I find really funny is that it's been called far left, this party.
Yeah.
But in actual, it's a very right-wing thing to... You know, capitalism is based, Marion, on risk and reward. You take a risk and you get the reward. So if you lend to Greece, what's your risk? We'll get a higher rate of interest, so we'll get a higher reward. And then the Greeks say, sorry, we've no money. That's capitalism. The essence of capitalism is actually... Sometimes things
actually,
don't
that's
work.
True, yeah.
So what is really funny about the media...
Whereas we
is this,
have socialism in terms of feeding our banks money.
Do you see what I mean? So the media is also... There's a far left thing. This is an extremely old-fashioned capitalist idea that the Greek party that is about to win has come up with, which is basically, you lent us money in the good time we were all mates. We've no cash left. Do you know what? Form an orderly queue and let's be capitalist. This is not left-wing at all, Marion. This is actually right-wing.
Okay. Okay, well, we will go to Greece and see what they're saying there. But first of all, I have to take another break, so we're back after this.
Podcast The Marion Finucane Show at rte.ie/radio.